PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. I'm Jenny Detweiler, and you guys, I'm so happy today to have one of my in-real-life friends on the podcast, Julie Long. Julie is an old friend of the podcast. She was on a few years ago to talk about foster care, and today she's back to talk about a different kind of adventure, about her family's experience on the Appalachian Trail. Now, we are coming to the end of season 6, all about telling our stories, and we've heard all kinds of different stories and looked at stories from different angles. And this story is not a lifelong, in-depth story. It's a story about a season, but it is an adventure story. And I don't know about you and what your experience is with hiking in the Appalachian Trail. For me, I love hiking, and I've done small sections of the AT, but never the whole thing. That feels epic. So it has been fascinating for me to watch as a friend, looking at the blogs, watching the YouTube videos of her family on this big adventure. And I loved getting to pick her brain about some of the ins and outs of it. I think you're really going to enjoy it too. So with that, let's jump into the conversation. Julie, welcome to the podcast. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
I am Julie Long, and I have a little farm over here in Vail, North Carolina.
So you were on the podcast. I was trying to think last night. I think it was maybe in 2020.
It's been a while.
Like 4 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And the first time we talked about foster care, which is important to both of us. Mm-hmm. But today we're talking about something completely different than that.
Yes.
And this year we're talking about telling our stories. And I thought this was a really fun and different kind of story.
It definitely is.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you start and share a little bit about your Appalachian Trail journey and your family and how you guys began this whole fun adventure.
Okay. So I'm married and I have two boys that now are 22 and 17. But about 7 years ago, I believe is when it was, we went on I'll call it a vacation. It was for a week over the summer, and we decided to hike the Appalachian Trail. And we did 50 miles in 5 days, and it was out near Hot Springs, North Carolina. And while we were hiking, Jeff and I were just talking, and, you know, you're just spending all day, every day with your family, and it actually was a really good time for us. Well, we did the same thing the next year, and we hiked 50 different miles the next year on the other side of Hot Springs. And while we were hiking, Jeff would say periodically both times how he really would like to hike the entire Appalachian Trail. And at the time, Gavin was about 10 or 11 and Garrett was 16 or 17 years old. And it was hard to think of them older at that time or being able to hike an entire Appalachian Trail. So, and we couldn't even see at that time how we could make that happen, how Jeff could be off of work for that long, because I stay at home, so I don't have a full-time job. And at the time, I was homeschooling Gavin, so, you know, the possibility just didn't even seem there. But I knew that it was a dream of Jeff's. So we kind of started just taking small steps in that direction. And then eventually it was just like, I think we can do this. So that's what we decided last year, last March 2023, that, yeah, we're going to go for it and Jeff's going to do it. And Gavin decided to do it with him because he graduated in December from high school.
So I remember when you first told me that you guys were going to be doing this, and I had some mixed thoughts and feelings, and I can only imagine that you probably also have had some mixed thoughts and feelings about sending your son and your husband off on this big adventure and holding down the fort. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that, like what it's been like to be on this side of it, like as a supporter and being at home and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's been exhausting, but also it's fun for me to support them. Yeah. Like, I love encouraging somebody to do something that they love. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. I will cheer you on from the sidelines. And it just wasn't feasible for me to also go. And because a lot of people have asked me why I didn't go, but it just wasn't going to work out for me to go. And Garrett wasn't willing to go either. He wanted to start his full-time job and work and all that. So I was worried about them being gone and, you know, just something happening or somebody getting hurt or somebody getting sick or, you know, like the things that you worry about as a mom, regardless, you just always have that in the back of your mind. But the journey and the adventure and the dreams kind of like outweighed any of that fear.
Yeah.
So
how many miles is the Appalachian Trail? Like, how big is it?
It's 2,198 miles.
Wow.
Yes.
So long. Okay. And they started when?
February 11th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And projected, they think they'll end around what?
The date kind of keeps changing. It just depends, obviously. But we're thinking June 20th-ish within that week, I think that they will be finished.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have so many curiosity questions. I'm just going to shoot them off randomly throughout the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, how many miles do they tend to hike every day?
Their goal is 18 to 20.
That is wild.
Their average.
Me.
They want the average to be 18 to 20 miles.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost a marathon every day.
Yes.
But with walking and hiking.
Uh-huh.
So we went to Washington, D.C. in December, and we were not trying to walk that much. We even used the metro, but when we looked at our steps at the end of the day, it had been like 8 to 10, and we were wiped.
Yeah.
We were so tired.
Mm-hmm.
So did it take some conditioning to get up to that point where they could do that amount?
They say you get your trail legs.
Yeah.
And so that's usually after a couple weeks. Your body just kind of adjusts to it. They're still in pain. They still hurt. Jeff calls it the hiker wobble. So after you've been sitting for a while and you go to stand up, you know, it hurts and they're still in pain. But they're still trekking along and doing it every day. So
amazing.
So, Jeff really likes the peace and quiet. He works, his full-time job is in Charlotte. And so he's used to construction noise and cars and trucks and all of this stuff. So he really appreciates the quietness. He likes listening to the birds and all of that. Gavin likes meeting new people. He's been getting a kick out of all of the different people that he has encountered along the trail. He's more of a people person. And so he's enjoyed meeting all different kinds of people.
I bet. I mean, it seems like there would only be certain kinds of people that would be hiking the Appalachian Trail, at least long term.
Yes, but they're so different also. And as they meet people, it seems like the common question is, why are you hiking the Appalachian Trail? And
uh-huh.
So they learn, you know, everybody has a different story and all of that. And so Gavin's really enjoyed that.
So does it seem like there are certain people that are on the same path with them the whole time, or are they coming and going and meeting new people?
They will hang out with somebody for a few days, and then usually Jeff and Gavin leave them. They hike. Jeff hikes very fast, and so they kind of end up walking off and leaving them or something like that. But they've kind of stayed in touch with a few people that they've met along the way, but for the most part, they only hang with one person or two people a few days, and that's about it.
And what are the most challenging things that have happened so far?
For both of them, it was just being away from home.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, more challenging than they thought it was going to be. And so I do go visit them very often, and that originally was not part of the plan, but it's kind of been what's worked out. So I go visit them pretty often and see them for the weekend or something like that, and they've enjoyed that.
So is it like homesickness or like home comforts or all of it?
Probably all of it for them. I think that I'm like their home.
Yeah.
And so whenever I go visit, it makes them feel better. But I'm sure, I know Gavin wants to sleep in his own bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, pet his dog and all of that. But, you know, at least me coming and visiting them, they can have a little bit of home with them, you know, or I'll try to cook a meal that I know that they really love or something like that.
And what's been most challenging for you so far?
Maintaining our little farm. Yeah. Probably. Just getting the garden started and things like that, that normally I have more help with. And so, shoveling mulch is not my thing and I don't like it. And so, or dirt or any of that stuff. So they usually jump in and do things like that, that are harder for me. And, or it's, you know, they get it done a lot faster than what I would do. It might take me 3 days to do something. It would take them 2 hours to do. So that's been pretty hard. And then just being at home, you know, without them eating dinner or whatever. And that's always hard.
Yeah. Lonely.
Mm-hmm.
What parts have been different than what you guys have expected? Like, what do you think they expected going into this?
I think that they, well, I know that they both thought physically they would be much better than what they are. They were not anticipating all the pain. They thought, like I thought at first, yes, sore muscles, sore feet and all of this, but none of us anticipated them hurting for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's not talked about.
Right.
And I've read a lot of Appalachian Trail books and they talk about it at first, but then it's kind of, I guess the pain is just accepted and just, you just push through it. So I know that Jeff especially thought that the physical aspect wasn't going to be as difficult as it has been. So, and then Gavin was not expecting some of the landscape that is out there. And so, like, they're having to walk through swampy areas and stuff. And so that wasn't part of his mental picture of the Appalachian Trail. So just kind of some of the different terrains that they're having to walk through wasn't expected.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more about this at the end, but they have a YouTube channel and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
And you are doing an email every day. So between listening to you and seeing some of the emails and some of the YouTube videos, I think one thing that I didn't think about, which it seems obvious, is like bad weather. Oh, like, yes. You picture hiking and it seems like it'll be great. And then what do you do on a bad weather day? That stinks.
Yeah.
They're just stuck or you get wet.
Yeah. Their whole demeanor is completely different when they're getting rained on all day.
I bet.
And now, thankfully, the weather's warmer. You know, when they started, it was really cold and they had to push through very, very cold nights and days. And that was pretty challenging for them. And then the rain... They've missed a lot of the rainy season, thankfully. But like today, it was raining on them today when they're trying to hike. So they can't do as, you know, the videos and things like that because the phone's getting wet and they can't call me as much because they're just in the rain. There's no umbrella. They just try to get to the next shelter so that they can dry out for a little bit.
So they don't take a day off. They just go through it unless it's really bad.
Unless it's really bad. Yeah. They just walk through it.
I mean, it seems to me like what you're talking about with the pain and the weather and all that stuff is like you get to a level of endurance and perseverance when you're hiking the trail that in normal life you just wouldn't push yourself to.
Right. Yeah, because you wouldn't have to. So I just think that both of them, their level of perseverance is pretty strong, but I think that they depend on each other for that too. And, you know, they might not because they're guys, but they might not be as encouraging to each other as like I would be, but they're still there for each other. And when one's really hurting, then they stop and rest or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so, yeah.
In the way that guys do.
Yes. They help each other and support each other. And I don't know how successful they would have been individually, but they say that, you know, most of the Appalachian Trail, if you're going to through hike it, it's a mental game and not necessarily physical. So
I could see that. So kind of along with that, how do you see them growing through this experience?
Well, I know that Jeff's mindset has definitely changed with his perception of people in general. Because like I said, he works in a big city and his perception of people generally is not very good. And now he has met nobody that's been nothing but nice and kind. I mean, every single person he's encountered has had really good things to say. They've been good people. We've had strangers like literally offer their home to us for the weekend. And it's just some stuff like that he's just not never encountered in his life. And so I've always told him, I always look more on the positive side of things. And he says he's a realist. I say he's negative, but anyway. But he's kind of moving more toward my positivity side, at least when it comes to people. And I think that has been a huge difference for him. He'll grow in that. And even people that we know that have, like, sent him a Venmo for pizza or something like that. Like, it's just unexpected. And he's seen that, and he really, really, really appreciates that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like usually when something like that happens, it's like you're sick or somebody has died. But this mm-hmm. is a positive thing, and people are just yeah. coming around him.
They are. They're being, like, very encouraging and very positive. And it's been very good for him, I think, to experience that, because he's just never had anything like that before in his life. So it's been good. And Gavin is the way he's growing, I think he's seeing Jeff differently in some aspects. You know, they're stepdad, stepson. And so that relationship is that kind of relationship. But now that they're on the trail, they rely on each other so much that he's seeing Jeff in maybe a different light than what he perceived him as before this trip, you know?
Right. And one thing I don't think that we said in the podcast is that Gavin had just finished high school, like, a semester early before he did this, right?
Yes.
Like, he mm-hmm. will have a graduation party later this summer.
Yes.
So he's kind of, like, becoming a man at the same time, which is also
yes.
a different way to come into a relationship with
yes.
a dad and stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's
amazing.
Yeah, and he'll be turning 18 in August, and so this is definitely a growing journey for him probably the entire way, so.
I love that. I feel like a lot of people need a gap year, and this is quite a fun adventure.
Yes.
And such a cool opportunity.
He was ready for it in the way of he was done with school. Like, he mentally was done with school. And he just, this taking this long break is, I think, going to be good for him before he starts college. So,
very cool. What's the weirdest thing they've experienced so far on the trail?
I did ask them that question because I wasn't sure what their perception of what the weirdest thing would be.
Yeah.
I'm
imagining there are some weird things.
Well, you know, I think all of the nature stuff is assumed, but they have gone to several hostels, and a hostel is just like, it can be anything. It can be a garage. It can be somebody's home. It can be like a renovated hotel, whatever. And it's a cheaper rate that you stay. And usually you get some kind of food or something with it, or maybe a ride back to the trail. And so they say that the hostels are the weirdest thing because you just don't know what to expect, what the environment of the hostel is going to be and all of that. And but still the people are good people. They've always been kind. But then also Gavin has experienced more marijuana use than what he has ever seen in his entire life.
You mean being exposed to it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's exposed to it. He's seen it, whereas, you know, I don't know that he's been around that, you know, and so that's kind of strange for me as a mom.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful that Jeff is there. But they did tell me one time there was one hostel they stayed at in Virginia. I can't remember which one, but and there were no smoking signs everywhere. Like, they don't want you smoking inside the hostel. And thankfully, well, then they're sitting on the couch and they're smoking marijuana. And so I guess that was okay. You can't smoke cigarettes. And they offered it to Jeff and he declined, but they did not offer it to Gavin. So, like,
oh, well, that's good.
You know, at least they, at least they knew he's young and he doesn't need to be offered weed. So that was just, to me and to them, that was like one of the weirdest experiences.
Oh, that is.
For them. I guess unexpected too.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, but that really doesn't surprise me now that I think about it.
Yeah.
So I've traveled in Europe for a week or two, and like, we stayed in a place that I guess you might call a hostel. It was very nice though, but there mm-hmm. were lots of different people and like a communal bathroom and kitchen and stuff like
yeah.
that. And it was very nice. Mm-hmm. But I know that in Europe, a lot of people do that, especially if you're like backpacking across Europe or, mm-hmm. but I don't think I really thought about it with the Appalachian Trail, but that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's you very never
common.
Know.
It's yeah. very common. You know, I don't know. I guess Gavin having that exposure is maybe okay to set him up for future.
With his stepdad, that is, yeah. that's a great way for yeah. it to happen.
So I was just like, okay.
One time my sister and I were in San Francisco and I was in my late 20s. I don't know how she knew, but I apparently did not know what it smelled like. And she's like, everywhere we go, it smells like marijuana here. And I was like, I don't know what it smells like. And she's like, it smells like that. Can you smell it?
Do you
and
smell
I was
that?
Like, no, I don't. But once you know, you know.
Yeah. yeah. It's very unique smell. So.
So as a mom and wife, I can only imagine some of the fears that I would have about my kids and my husband if they were to go on an adventure like that, or even for myself while they're gone. Have any of those fears come true for you, or have you found that you've been sustained through it pretty well?
I think that for the most part, I have to not dwell on the fears because...
Well, you're almost done now, which is why yes. I feel like I can ask that.
Yes. at first, I really did just tried really hard not to think about it too much, to be honest, because you can just get yourself into some dark places if you allow it. And I didn't want to allow that. I didn't want my fears to hamper their experience. And Jeff is fully aware of all my fears. And Gavin probably is aware of some of them without me having to verbalize them. I mean, obviously getting hurt is a huge fear. Like, I don't want them to get hurt. And Gavin has fallen pretty good one time, and he did get hurt, but it wasn't serious. And again, he's with his stepdad. And so he, you know, he's taken care of. All of his needs are met and all of that. And, but I wasn't sure how often they would call me and talk to me and, but generally, they talk to me a lot. And so if they have cell phone signal, they talk to me pretty often, at least every night. I'll be on the phone with them. Or so if they're alone and they're, like, cooking dinner, sometimes they'll put me on speakerphone, and it's just like I'm hanging out with them, and we'll just talk about whatever is going on in my life, which is right now separate from their life. And so it kind of, you know, the fears are subsiding. And we're getting to the end, so it's good.
You know, I think about that when it comes to courage. It's like, not that I'm not afraid, but like, we move through it. And mm-hmm. on the other side, we can look back and be like, wow, how did I do that?
Yes.
That's why I'm asking now, because I know it's almost over now. Yes. I probably wouldn't have asked you that in February.
Yes, and I think that for them, I think it's taking courage for them to do what they're doing, you know. I'm just like a little part of it, trying to help them get through this adventure that they'll be able to talk about for the rest of their life.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. We might need to have a little cry when this is over. So right now in this season of life, I like to ask my guests how they're practicing soul care. What does that look like for you right now? Because you're in a weird season, it seems like, and doing a lot of things on your own.
Yes. Well... I'm just trying to still do the things that I love, which I may not have as much time to do them, or they're a little bit more stressful than they normally are. Like the garden, like I really love having a big, pretty garden, and I really love, you know, doing all of that. And so I'm still doing it. It's just takes longer. Or in the evenings, I try to just have whatever time I have to be by myself. You know, I get in my little sauna, and for me, that's taking care of myself and things like that. I mean, you know, right now it's kind of crazy, and so I probably am not doing as much as I should, but it'll come.
How can people follow along with what your husband and your son are up to? And then also I want to talk about you too, but let's start with them. If they want to hear and know more, how can they find all that?
They have a YouTube channel. It's Step Into Hiking. And they also have TikTok. It's the same name. So you can follow along all their videos and all of that. I think we're on day 95 today. And so there's about that many videos that's posted on their YouTube channel. And they send me the pictures and videos throughout the day. And then every night I upload them and get them on YouTube for them.
Okay, so I'll make sure that I link to the YouTube channel in case people want to find that. And what about you, Misty Creek Acres? How can people find you and what you're up to?
Well, that's my Instagram, that's my TikTok, and I have a website, mistycreekacres.com. And I do have some blog posts on there. I have an Appalachian Trail blog that I've been doing. And it's just me talking like from a mom's perspective of this trail. I don't do a blog like every day or anything like that. But I do have, I explain a whole lot of information about the trail and how we're kind of doing everything. And so, and then I have other blogs about farming or gardening or whatever. So that's where I put everything.
And you have a store. Do you want to talk about that?
I make and sell a lot of farm products that I create from my garden or from whatever I'm growing, herbs and everything. And so I have all kinds of salves and soaps and sprays. I do magnesium sprays and lotions and bath salts, all of that stuff. So all of that's on the website too.
And her products are really good. I've ordered like 3 times and they come so cute.
Thank you.
So I'll link to that as well. Anything else you wanted to say that I didn't give you a chance to?
I don't think so. I just really think that if your family or whoever comes to you with a crazy dream, you got to do what you can to support them. So that's what I'm doing.
I love that. And on that note, we'll close out. I think that was a great word. Thanks again, Julie, for being on today's podcast episode. I appreciate you, your time, your energy, your wisdom, your story, and of course, your friendship. It's pretty inspiring to see your courage. Well, friends, if you would like to follow along with what her family is up to on the Appalachian Trail, I will link to their YouTube channel in today's show notes. I will also link to Julie's website as well so you can see what she's up to and what she's selling through her store and what she's doing on her farm. As always, you know you can find me on Facebook or Instagram or Threads at Pause Renew Next, and you can always find me at the website at pauserenewnext.com. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, I hope you'll go find PRN, Pause Renew Next, on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoy this podcast, do me a favor. Share it with a friend. Well, that's all for today's podcast episode. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.